The reason for the season, of course, is Christ. And that's who we're focused on this evening as we honor him this Christmas Eve 2024. Let me encourage you this evening, if you have a Bible with you, open it up to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 18 through 25. Title of the message, Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to bow my heart and let's pray together as a church. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Christmas Eve, a day which we celebrate every day, really, is the birth of your Son, who ultimately came and died on the cross for the sins of mankind. And we rejoice, Lord, that you did indeed send your Son, and that through him we can have eternal life. So, Father, I pray as we look at Matthew chapter 1 that you open up our hearts, our minds, Lord, that we could have a good understanding of what took place that day as the Mary was expecting and Joseph was there 2,000 years ago. Be glorified in the service. It's in Jesus' precious name, all God's people said. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read the text to you beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly, or literally divorce her. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which was conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took him his wife, and they did not know, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Of the over 6,000 hymns that was penned by Charles Wesley, he wrote one of the greatest hymns of all time that is Hark the Herald Angels Sings. In the second stanza of this song, he goes to say this, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. One of the most precious names given to Jesus by the angel here in our text is the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this evening, I want to reveal 3 points in the text that make application for us. And 3 points will be on the screen. I'd like to start with the first point as we look at verses 18 through 19. That is the miraculous conception. Look with me at verse 18 and 19. It says, now the birth of the Lord Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that is, before they had union or relations, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man or a righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So we see in verse 18, beginning there, that Jesus was born of the virgin. Verse 18 says, at the latter part of it, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. He also mentions this in the latter part of verse 20. It says, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 23a, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He also mentions it at the beginning of verse 25, that is the virgin birth. And did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin. And also there's a dilemma that takes place here with Joseph. Verse 18 tells us that he was betrothed to Mary. Betrothed literally means an engagement. It was a one-year betrothal prior to the actual ceremony or before the marriage took place. And back then, when someone was betrothed to someone, it not only was for a year long, but the betrothal was binding as if they were married. And we see here in verse 19 that Joseph was going to divorce her privately. Now, Joseph loved Mary. He loved her. And back then, marriages were arranged. The parents would get together and look at somebody with good character, and they would say, this person is a good candidate, if you will, for you to marry. So they were betrothed, and that was equivalent to being married back there. And Joseph was like, hey, I don't want her to be shamed in the community after hearing that she is expecting, and he was going to divorce her privately. More than likely, Mary would have had to have been taken to an outside town, because back then, if someone was pregnant and it was found out by others prior to marriage, according to Jewish law, that young girl would be stoned. So Mary more than likely would have snuck out to a different town, and Joseph would have divorced her despite the ceremony not officially taking place. But something took place in the life of Joseph, and it is here, beginning in verse 20, we have the angelic intervention, beginning in verse 20. It says, but while he thought about these things, as he began to ponder his situation with Mary, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your life. And here it is, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The angel came and revealed himself to Joseph in a dream. And what's fascinating is during this time period that was taking place, angelic beings were revealing themselves to many people. We see in all their gospel writings that the angel appeared to Elizabeth. This would be John the Baptist's mother. An angel also appeared to the shepherds, as we saw in the reading of Scripture this evening, in Luke's gospel. And also the angel came to Mary, as Mary was found to be expecting. An angel appeared to her. And an angel here appears to Joseph to calm his fears. The angel tells him, go ahead and take Mary as your wife. And in verse 21, it says that, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. The angel goes ahead and says and gives him the name Jesus. Now, Jesus in the Old Testament would be the name Joshua. When translated in the New Testament, it would be the name Jesus. Jesus literally means God or Yahweh is salvation. I am salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation. And it says in the text that Jesus came to save people from their sins. It's important to understand that we are all sinners. The nation of Israel understood the fact that they were sinners because they had the law of God revealed to them. Not only was the Jewish people sinners, but the Bible says that all of us, every single person that was born on planet Earth, is a sinner by birth and a sinner by choice. We are all sinners. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to save sinners from their sins. If you're with me, say amen. We've all broken God's laws, whether it's in thought, in our thought processes, whether it's by word, by the things we say, or if it's by deeds, the things that we do, we are all sinners. God's standard of righteousness is perfection, and no one is perfect. In fact, the writer of Romans chapter 3 says that there is none righteous, no, not one. The only one that was perfectly righteous is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin. So we see this evening the miraculous conception, the angelic intervention, and I want to look at our third and final point, the prophetic anticipation, beginning in verse 22. Goes on to say, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and here is verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name, and this is key, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The angel here calls him Emmanuel, God with us. It's important to understand that this scripture that he's quoting from was Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This verse of scripture was spoken by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus took upon a body, was born of the virgin, and came to planet Earth. Isaiah prophesied this, and when Isaiah or one of the prophets spoke, he spoke by the inspiration of God. That is, when God speaks through a prophet, it will take place and no one can alter that plan. God prepared the hearts of Joseph and Mary this day, Christmas, prior to Christmas Day, that the woman shall have a child and she shall be a virgin. So we see this. This is a miraculous conception that took place. Three things that we learn from the name Emmanuel. First, being that the name Emmanuel means God with us, the first thing is that Jesus is God. Important to catch that. Jesus is deity. Jesus is fully God. John chapter 1, verse 1 states, in the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. So the word Emmanuel, being that God is with us, is first of all that Jesus is God. Secondly, Jesus is man. John chapter 1, verse 14 states that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, the word dwelt among us means that he pitched a tent. That is, God took upon a body, fully God, took upon a human body and dwelt among mankind. He pitched a tent on planet Earth. Jesus was born with a human nature just like you and me, yet without sin. This is why he had to be born of a virgin. If you're with me, say amen. So we see that Jesus Christ is God, Jesus Christ is man, and also the third point here is that God is also for us. God is for us in the person of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. That's why Jesus came. He came to show mankind favor. He came to show mankind love in the person of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. God takes upon a body in the person of Jesus Christ, demonstrates his love on planet Earth, that he died on the cross for sinners. That's why Jesus came. He came to die for the sin of mankind. Every sin that was taken place, that will take place, and that had taken place in the past. Jesus Christ came and demonstrated his love by dying on the cross. Such love. Such love. And there are three things I'd like to share with you that Jesus brings to us in application. The first this morning is that he revealed God to us. He revealed God to us. John chapter 14 says that he who has seen me, this is Jesus speaking, has seen the Father. When you look at the person of Jesus Christ, you see God the Father. He is not God the Father, but he is the second person of the Godhead, of the triune Godhead. And when you see Jesus, you see God. When Jesus walked on planet Earth, people got a glimpse of God in the flesh. They seen God. They seen God loving on people. They seen God healing people. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is inclusive. God became flesh, and the only way to get to God is in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is fully God and fully man. There's no other way to heaven. Only God can pave the way for heaven. Jesus Christ is God. And we see that he revealed God to us. Secondly, he came and he can relate to us. Jesus can relate to us being that he is God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 states, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows them all because he is God who took upon a body and dwelt among us. He can identify with our pain. He can identify with our hurt. He can identify with us, yet without sin. And our third thing that Jesus brings to us is that he came to redeem us. He came to redeem us. Jesus literally brought mankind. He paid the price and bought us out of the slave market of sin. That is, everyone who sins is a sinner and is a slave to sin. Man may choose different kinds of sins, but mankind is a slave to sin. John chapter 8, verses 34 and 36, Jesus says this, He says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Therefore, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus Christ came to buy each and every one of us from the slave market of sin so that we can no longer be a slave to sin. We can be a slave to righteousness. That is, we can now live a righteous life in our thought processes, in our speech, and in our deeds. He gives us the power to overcome sin because he came to redeem us. He came so that we can be part of his forever family. Salvation is crystal clear in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're saved by grace through faith. Grace, that is God reaching down to us. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. You cannot work your way to salvation. It is the gift of God. The ultimate Christmas gift was given to mankind in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, shed his blood, so that mankind can be forgiven. It's a free gift. If someone came to you, let's say tomorrow, and gave you a Christmas gift and said, Merry Christmas, here is my gift to you. And you decided to pull out your wallet and say, here, let me give you $20 for the gift. I think the person would feel very, very insulted. Why? Because it's a gift. God gave his Son as a gift to mankind so that we could spend eternity with him. But we must turn from sin, recognize our sinfulness, turn from sin, turn to Christ, and Christ will forgive us of our sins. It's not by works of righteousness that we're saved. It is the gift of God for mankind. So the thing that we do is we recognize our sinfulness. We see that we're sinners. We turn to God and say, Lord, I repent from my sin. I change my mind concerning my sin, and I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. I want Jesus. I want forgiveness. It's not something that it's just we say with our mouth. It's something that comes from the heart. And the Bible promises that when we turn from sin and we turn to Christ, the free gift, your sins will be forgiven. That's glorious news. So that one day when we stand before God, God will say, what shall I do to let you into heaven? And before you even respond, God will say, wait, you've already received my Son as Lord and Savior. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been pardoned. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's good news. That's the best news anyone can hear. That's what the gospel means. It simply means good news. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you turned from your sins? Have you turned to Christ for forgiveness of sins? The Lord is asking you this morning through me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, nothing we do, lest anyone should boast. No one will boast before God. It's a free gift. It's not by joining a church. It's not by being a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Catholic. It's not by giving to the community. It's not by entering a building where there's someone out front from Salvation Army and giving some money. That's not how you get to heaven. It's a free gift. He's yours if you want him. Turn from sin, turn to Christ, he'll forgive you. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. As we bow our hearts to prayer this morning, I ask the ushers to go ahead and begin to distribute the candles for our candlelight event.